Tonight, the AV Club's Hefe and pretty late pal John Tatey ride sidecar. Then Mark Carman continues getting ready for boot camp with Patty. And finally, Rich Lenkov is all free Kesha. All that and more right now on Pretty Late with Patty Vasquez.
Hello, Craig. Did you say in your intro that the editor-in-chief of AV Club is back in studio with us?
I did, yes. He is the Hefe of the AV Club.
You're back.
The Hefe. Oh, wow. I'll take that.
El Hefe.
I'm back. I had a baby.
I did.
I watched a baby being had.
I accept that as a sentence, by the way. You had
do?
A baby. I do.
I always feel a little bad saying it, but it's just the most. We had a beautiful baby boy, Leonardo John Tatey.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Look at you. You're like glowing even. So.
I love him. I mean, you guys, you and Rob totally prepared me for the worst, but you did not prepare me for the best.
Oh, no. What I thought we did. Didn't we do any of that?
None well, of that I stuff? Don't think I needed well, to be we... prepared, but I did not know I could love a little person this much.
Did you? And I, well, there's no way to explain that the moment you have this baby, you don't remember not having him.
Right, exactly. I said that like he'd been home 3 days and I said, I can't imagine not having this baby. Isn't that crazy?
Yeah. It's so weird. It's a weird neurological thing that just sort of envelops you.
Yes. And I have to say that watching my wife give birth to the baby, I think I've had this feeling since then that like, I can do anything. Like if she can do that, my God, all the obstacles in my life suddenly seemed less onerous after
okay.
that.
So Craig's trying to wonder what that means.
No, I got it. That's yeah.
No, I think that you should know what that means. We talked about my delivery last week.
Oh, really?
And some details that apparently were off-putting to some listeners, and then we turned it around by explaining like how incredible it also is.
People
to have,
called in and told you to stop.
I believe "Thank God for the break" was a sentiment that was expressed.
Yeah, that's that Billy Crystal moment in City Slickers where he goes, "Oh my God, there's going to be bursting."
So I don't know what part you want to talk about as far as the delivery.
Well, it was a sudden. He came a little early, almost a couple of weeks early. And
full term is 38 weeks, but that had to be scary either way.
Yeah, it wasn't really, it was surprising, I guess I'd say that. Mm-hmm. Anna went to her scheduled, by that point in the pregnancy, I guess you're going to the OB every week. And so she was going to her scheduled appointment, and she gave me a call while she was out and said, my doctor says that I'm apparently in labor right now.
Okay, so we talked about this the other night, too, that I was having contractions. I was in labor and dilated and didn't realize it.
This is just what happened to
Anna.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So we go to the hospital, and nothing's progressing, so we went home. Mm-hmm. And then in the middle of the night, it seemed like things were happening again.
It seems in the sense that she was in excruciating pain and said, let's go now.
She was really not in excruciating pain until the very end. And we, like, the nurses were commenting, like, boy, you're 8 centimeters and you're the chillest 8 centimeters we've ever seen in our lives.
Craig?
I'm curious how the decision goes that you know she's in labor, but you still go home for a little while. We're in the hospital. She's in labor. Several conversations before you guys? Let's just go.
Because she's early, I'm guessing, is why they were like, okay, since it's stalled out, we're not going to.
Can you false start this kind of thing?
You expedite it.
Okay.
Yes, is that a correct?
Expedite it. You can expedite it.
Yeah,
word is fine.
I'm going to just go ahead and write that down as a word that I shouldn't have used.
So
expedite, expediation with expediation.
There can be like a labor fake out.
Well,
she was definitely in labor.
She was in labor, but it wasn't advancing. You know, it wasn't moving along. She was relatively comfortable as you can be while you're in labor. The doctor said, well, we could keep you overnight or you could just go home. And the hospital doesn't want you taking up that bed unless there's some action happening. So,
and then you're like, and this also affects my health insurance, correct?
Oh, yeah, sure. All that bureaucracy comes in.
Jazz. We call it all that jazz.
I would not leave.
it's the least jazzy thing, I think.
And you do jazz hands and stuff when you talk. I would not leave a hospital if someone was in labor, though. That's awesome that you guys were so chill to... I would stay even if it was 4 days, you know?
Cause... I just wanted her to be comfortable, and I felt that she would be comfortable for these early stages of labor at home. And I think that was the right choice. But then at 4 a.m., we did head back in.
I don't understand labor, so.
and every story you hear makes that even worse, doesn't it?
Yeah, it really does.
Like,
these
not one of them makes any
none
sense.
None of these. I'm going to tell Betty if we do get pregnant to just go home halfway through. Yeah.
When you get pregnant.
When we get pregnant, to just go home halfway through, because it's fine.
I think the most harrowing part was when we were at the hospital, and, you know, like the doctor comes around every few hours. It's like the brass ring on the slowest merry-go-round, and you just hope to catch them when they come by. And so it was just this nurse coming in and out every once in a while, and Anna is in the bathroom and starting to push. Like, I can tell just by looking at her, she cannot resist the urge. You know, her body is telling her, push. And but while she's in the bathroom, and the nurse looks in and says, "Oh, you can't push yet." And I said to her, "I don't think we have much of an option at this point. You better get the doctor."
Right.
And then it happened very fast. It was such a slow labor, and then it happened really quick at the end.
Interesting. So she didn't push for very long.
She did not push for very long, no.
I'm trying not to be jealous of people who don't push for very long. 22 hours in labor, 2 hours of pushing. It was crazy. Ugh. 2 hours and 5 minutes of pushing.
2 hours is not even the worst I've heard.
Oh, no, I agree.
Some people
do 2 hours
and then they have to stop because they're exhausted.
I had to stop. I actually tossed my cookies somewhere in the middle.
Yeah,
like, I didn't even know it was happening. I was like, I'm going to need something.
We can take a break.
No, I think that we can clean the sleet.
I'm just happy that the boy got here in time for
the boy,
Donald
Leonardo.
Trump era.
I don't know how to feel about that. You're
just in time,
in the middle of the primaries,
to see our country tear itself apart from the inside.
Or the golden age, or the next golden age. Can we go platinum? More after this on 720 WGN. You're listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase Studio on a beautiful Tuesday evening. The skies are clear. Everyone's kind of out there. A lot of people on Rush Street and on Hubbard tonight, going to the bars and restaurants. John Tatey joins me in studio as a proud parent of a new baby. You probably loved how warm it was this past weekend.
Yes. Oh, we got to go out to the park.
It was stunning.
Yeah.
Guess what's happening tomorrow? Hey, Matt, tell us what's happening tomorrow.
Yes, I heard you mention about the weather recently here this past weekend, and it will be quite a contrast tomorrow on Wednesday, afternoon and evening especially, with heavy snow expected and strong winds, and the combination making for hazardous to dangerous travel conditions, especially during that late afternoon, early evening commute.
Oh, God. Okay, so let's say you have an evening job somewhere, and the worst part of the storm, would you recommend, like, let's say your job starts at 11 p.m. at night.
Let's just say that, yep.
Let's just say that that's how your schedule goes. How early would you say I should leave for work tomorrow? What's my best bet for getting here on time?
It may be quite early tomorrow, and, you know, it's maybe one of those rare times where, you know, we have near blizzard conditions, and so I have to consider safety in that and talk to the boss and plan appropriately.
So 2 p.m. You're thinking 2 p.m. When does this storm, is it going to roll in through, like, it's coming from the south, is that right, or it's going to hit the south the most?
Yeah, you're right. It'll be coming from the south, and so they'll have the longest duration and likely the most snowfall amounts, the south metro and in even the east metro, in other words, near the lakefront there of Cook County, and then it'll taper off to the northwest. So snow moving south to north through the morning, starting in the morning, and then being its heaviest during the afternoon and early evening, which obviously is a bad time for those thinking about their late afternoon, early evening commute.
Okay, so I'm going to just come in early tomorrow, is what we're saying.
Sounds like it. Sounds like you maybe shouldn't even leave.
Tomorrow night I might not leave. Because now I've heard of this as wet snow, like a heavy wet snow. Is that correct?
You're right. This is the heavy wet composition snow. And so with all that, we always want to stress the impacts from shoveling and making sure you don't overexert yourself, especially those with any heart conditions. And then also the combination of the winds and the heavy wet snow could lead to some heavy weight on the power lines and cause some power outages.
Huh. Matt, where are you based, Matt?
Out of the National Weather Service in Romeoville, Southwest Metro.
Romeoville.
That's a suburb right here in
so
Chicago.
What kind of complex are you in? Because I'm wondering if
bunker?
Are you
is he
at
a bunker?
Like a nerve center for these storms?
We we may. We have 120 offices just like ours here that serve the country, and and we've avoided, so to say, big winter storms like this for the most part this year. Mm-hmm. You know, kind of had one the weekend before Thanksgiving that clipped parts of Chicago with some big totals, but for the most part, this winter has been void of big snowstorms, and so this could be the biggest snowstorm for the Chicago metro area in the, this winter so far, at least.
Well, I guess that's why I'm interested. I mean, I'm sure your job is stimulating at all times of year, and I know that you are interested in the safety of the public, but do you get a little juiced, a little excited when a big storm like this comes through? Be honest.
Hey, no, I will be honest, and yes, that, that we do. And it's because we do train and prepare for these type of events, whether it be this type of winter weather major event or a big severe weather event, for many weeks and months in a year or so. You know, that's when it all comes to fruition there. Like the April 9th big tornadoes last year out by Rochelle and Fairdale. You know, that's the type of event we prepare, actually something like that, for years. So the Groundhog Day blizzard back in 2011, you know, we prepare for a long time for that.
I love that he's got like that sort of frame of reference. Well, yes. The polar vortex was huge for 2 years in a row.
It's like hearing football players talk about great games from years and years ago. Like they can rattle off all the stats, and I love it. Yeah.
Yeah, that's one thing meteorologists are known for, naming off dates of events.
Well, it makes sense because we all kind of feel that way when as though we've survived something. Matt, I have a question. What do you do when a big storm is aside from your professional obligations? Because I know what I do. I make a big pot of chili. Every time it's going to be a big snowstorm, I have a tradition. Do you have something like that when it's going to be a big storm?
That's a great question. If fortunate enough to not be working during those, because as you can imagine, during a big winter storm, we in this weather service, the nerve center, as you call it, we need more staffing, so we bring in extra staff. So I find myself looking at the winter storm through computer screens at work and out the window at work often. But as you mentioned, if fortunate enough to be off, I just like to enjoy it. I like to enjoy looking out the window at it, to be able to be outside in it, appreciate it. You know, not have to travel in it, so it feels like appreciate it. And if it comes with the cold, then that chili sounds definitely like a good idea.
I like that you say that, because we do always, and quite reasonably so, we do always talk about, hey, stay in, be safe, and all the sort of danger of the storm, but it also has this wonderful beauty to it, and it just gives the city a completely different mood for those few hours when everything is quiet and just drenched in white.
It does, and the one thing about tomorrow's that unfortunately will take away from that beauty a little bit is that it comes with ripping winds. You know, the winds gust, and it looks like 40 to 45 miles per hour at times at late afternoon and evening, and so that will, you know, obviously add a bite to the air, add a chill to the air, but also cause, you know, really low visibility at times during the rush hour. The snow will be heavier and wetter, so it may not want to blow as easy, but given how hard it's going to snow at times, it won't matter much. That visibility will really come down.
Well, Matt, we appreciate all your input on this, and I hope that people stay safe. As you mentioned, the wind gusts are probably going to have a lot of effect when it comes to driving on icy roads, thick snow-covered roads. So we urge everyone to take caution. Prepare now. Matt's here from the National Weather Service to give you the heads up. So I hope that you have a chance to enjoy some of the snow-drenched visuals.
Thank you. Thanks for having me on.
Thank you so much, Matt. Be careful, be safe, and we'll talk to you again soon. Well, maybe, I don't know. Let's talk to you when it's going to be nice out, Craig. All right, Matt, we'll talk to you soon when it's nice out.
Okay, thanks. Bye.
Take care. More after this on 720 WGN. You are listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio. And I'm going to wager a guess that our guest, John Tatey, is being tested right now with a theme song from a game show unbeknownst to
mine. Tested quite viciously.
This is a tough one.
Can you give me a hint?
This ran from 85 to 86. It was just a one-year show.
Oof.
The host of the show, I think, hosted something much more popular and left to take on this show, which he also executive produced.
Wow. The host of the show left to do something much more. Another game show?
He left another game show.
Is it Woolery? Chuck Woolery?
No, it was hosted by Wink Martindale.
Oh. Hmm. Is it Wink Martindale? It's not Break the Bank, is it?
The show's theme song that I just played is Headline Chasers, and the show he was hosting at the time was Tic-Tac-Toe.
Sure. Tic-Tac-Toe was on for a while. I don't really know Headline Chasers.
Yeah, it only aired for one season. It wasn't terribly popular. So this was a tough one, yeah.
Huh. Yeah.
I'll give you something easier next time.
Yeah, you've stumped me a few times in a row, Craig.
More
and more obscure.
Yeah.
You know, I was just talking. Can we talk about game shows for a second?
No, not at all.
On my lunch break, I've been watching YouTube uploads of Scrabble episodes from This Is Why Chuck Woolery Was On My Mind, Craig. Now, this is one of the great game shows of the 80s that you never see in reruns on Game Show Network or what have you. I don't know if there are maybe rights issues with the Scrabble brand, but this is one of the best game shows of the 80s that really hasn't been rerun since USA was showing it in the 90s. I've been watching some. This has some of the best writing I've ever seen on a game show.
Now, when you say it has some of the best writing, that's not the questions?
The game revolved around crossword clues. So there would be these pithy little clues to words on the board, and then people would place letters one at a time to try to figure it out. And the writing was really funny and clever, and Chuck Woolery, the host, got to have some fun with it. And I don't know, if you're looking for some time to kill, just search for Scrabble Game Show on YouTube and watch a couple. It's a really good show.
All right. That sounds like, was it a celebrity also sort of influence to it or aspect to it, or was it just contestants?
No celebrities, contestants. Okay. They did sometimes have theme weeks, like they had a game show host week where all game show hosts played. That's pretty fun. Mm-hmm. I mean, for me, that's a blast to watch. But no, it was usually just contestants. And this show had some of the best contestant coordinators too, because, you know, there's producers who find the right contestants, and they're not just looking for skill, they're looking for personality and talent. Genic people. And there's really a difference between this show and like the Mark Goodson shows, like The Price is Right, would try to find your everyman, maybe your enthusiastic everyman and every woman. And Scrabble sort of went for smart, slightly off, like weird people who had some strange talent or just something weird in their personality. And it makes a lot of fun to watch. There's a little people watching aspect to it as well.
So was there an effort to relaunch the show in 2002? Because it looks like there was a Scrabble Challenge game show pilot in 2002.
That was something
different.
With John O'Hurley. That was something different. They did relaunch the Chuck Woolery Scrabble briefly in the mid-90s, but I think it only lasted for one season and it's come back. It was really an 80s show.
Okay. And by the way, speaking of contestants and the producers that wrangle the contestants, what is going on with Jeopardy and no more Canadian contestants? Did you hear about this?
Yes, there's some sort of, we reported on this in the AV Club actually, and it did like huge traffic. People were apparently very concerned about
this. It's weird.
But there's some sort of legal hitch right now, and I think it's like a privacy issue. It's something strange that you wouldn't expect, but there's some sort of legal hitch right now, and they cannot have Canadian contestants on Jeopardy, which is ironic, I'm sure you've seen in the reports, because Alex Trebek is himself Canadian. Quite proudly so, but apparently they're working on it.
Almost pompously so.
Well,
a little bit.
Alex
Trebek is
pompous about everything.
Yes, that's correct, yeah.
But Alex, you know, Alex is an interesting
he's a likable pomp.
He is a likable pomp, and he's, more than any other host, he really fit his approach to the show. Now, we all know him from Jeopardy now, but he hosted, in the 70s, he hosted a show called High Rollers, which was, it incorporated trivia, but a lot of dice rolls, really sort of silly and flashy and gaudy, and he was much looser and jokier on that show. He also hosted this strange show for one season, this Goodson show called Double Dare, nothing to do with the Nickelodeon show.
I was going to say.
And
is that what we get, like, big buckets of goop dumped on?
That's the Nickelodeon one. This Double Dare predates that and had nothing to do with that. And again, he was, if you watch that, you see sort of just a looser, more congenial Alex than you see on the more rigid Jeopardy. And I really admire that about him, that he could shift his style.
He's malleable
to the show.
Depending on the tone. Interesting. I don't watch that much. By the way, before we go to a break, I do want to mention we have a message from firefighter Todd Chuchuk in regards to the storm, the impending storm that we have tomorrow. He hates to ask, but you know what? Actually, this is a public service announcement. If you could throw it out there, please keep your hydrants clear of the snow because it will slow response time drastically if they have to try to shovel and try to find a hydrant in the case of a fire, obviously. So if you're out shoveling tomorrow, please also keep in mind to make sure that your fire hydrants on your block is clear as well.
And don't shovel the snow because I think sometimes you absentmindedly just sort of heave the snow wherever.
Onto the fire hydrant.
Don't shovel it onto the fire hydrant. Yeah.
And this might actually be more pertinent to the suburbs than it is to the city. But yeah, if you guys get a chance when you're out there shoveling tomorrow, please try to make sure that your fire hydrant is also clear. We never even think of that.
No, yeah.
I can't believe Todd Chuchuk's like, I'm sorry to ask. No, that actually seems like perfect information to have.
It's a great PSA. PSA. Thank you.
Yes.
Bit my tongue.
Please keep your hydrant because God forbid something goes wrong. You want your fireman to be out there as quickly as possible and have access to the hydrants.
And I think people maybe don't even think about the potential for fire in a snowstorm.
And it happens, of course.
Yeah, you got downed power lines. Mm-hmm. You've got, pipes burst. Any, all sorts of mayhem.
Electrical fires.
Yeah.
Now, before
listen
we go to the break.
Listen to us imagining disasters.
No, sorry, everybody. Craig. There's going to be plenty of them tomorrow.
Yeah, before we go to the break, can we try one more theme song?
Oh, yeah, okay. Oh, this is an easy one.
Wow.
Am I wrong? It seems
I'm going to gong you right
it's
now.
It's totally.
Oh, nice. Gong you off the stage.
He's answering the question.
It's totally like it seems from the 1920s, a little of a Charleston.
Sure, yeah. There's a touch of vaudeville to it.
Yeah,
that is The Gong Show. Chuck Barris is perhaps his greatest creation, I think, The Gong Show. Chuck Barris was responsible for the dating
game. Ever go away, The Gong Show?
I think.
That seems like but something that should have lasted.
That's a show that could not work in the YouTube era because part of the premise of that show is how ludicrous it was that these untalented or semi-talented people were being broadcast on national television.
Which America's Got Talent kind of does that to some extent,
But America's Got Talent is aspirational.
That's true.
And it really plays up the bigness of the stage, whereas The Gong Show was all about how seedy and...
Would it actually be more similar to Neil Patrick Harris's show?
Oh, sure. Yeah.
Because he would broadcast people from their living rooms.
Right.
What?
Yeah, Neil Patrick Harris. That show's not coming back, is it? Is that canceled?
No, that show bombed.
Yeah,
hard.
It was terrible.
Interesting.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But he would broadcast people from their living room, and they'd try to win a prize. It's great.
Oh.
I didn't know about that.
Uh-huh.
We are hanging out with the chief editor of the AV Club. If you have a question about anything that you think John might be able to answer, I'm not sure. There's plenty of things knows. He knows so many things. I'm not saying like algebra problems or physics questions or string theory or something like that.
I could do algebra, sure.
All right, then fine. So find out what X equals when we come back on 720 WGN. You are listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase Studio with the editor-in-chief.
Was that another theme? Was that another test, or was that
just
nice
fun
music?
Yeah,
okay. Yeah. I liked that.
John Tatey joins us. We were talking about bathing babies and going to swimming pools with your baby for the first time, so I highly encourage that when you have a chance. We went to the Lincolnwood pool, and it was so much fun. You know what's weird? Have you had this yet? I don't know how often you're out with the baby, but do you guys have parents like coming up to you and sort of trying to bond with you and make friends? This is a weird thing that will happen later on.
This happened after only a few days.
Yeah.
Like we were at the doctor's office and he was crying a little bit and this mother came up with her two beautiful kids, a little older obviously than Leo was, and said, "Here's how you hold him to get him to stop crying." And she went through all this, and I'd actually seen what she was talking about in a YouTube video, and I said, "Oh, that's the YouTube hold," and she was thrilled that I knew it, and we did immediately bond over that, and I kind of like this, Patty. I kind of like how there's a...
It's a cult of parenthood.
Before I had kids, I was like, oh, those parents, those rotten parents are so annoying. Mm-hmm. Now I love parents.
Yeah.
I like that there's this built-in community of shared understanding of the miseries and joys of having a kid.
I had a woman give me her information. I was at a Marshall's in Mount Prospect actually, and she was the one that told me about this class, the swimming pool class, like outdoor pool, moms and tots experience. And I haven't spoken to her since, but it was just so cool. Yeah.
Yeah, it sounds
great. You'll run into parents on the playground, at stores, and doctor's offices, things like that. It's really, it's very strange.
I guess I was a little surprised by it, and I'll say I wondered if it would happen if I were still in New York, or do you think maybe it's sort of a Midwest
interesting question.
Friendliness?
Yeah.
Thing?
Well, I don't think we'll ever know.
Well, because I definitely find that people are, you know, friendlier in general here, but I wonder, people keep more to themselves in New York, in my experience.
There
but
seems
I also
to be more of a nanny system in New York, too. Yeah, there seems to be much more of a babysitter taking them to the playground kind of going on. Everyone's a little bit, because it costs more to live there, so you have less people who have less free time to be out and about with their babies, I think. I'm just speculating.
Yeah, no, I think that's right.
Yeah, because here, parents want to, they want to bond, and they also, this will be the fun part, too, is when you go out to dinner, and people see you come in with a baby, and they all have this look on their face like, please not near me, please not near me.
Yeah.
You know, when you get on a plane, oh, no. Yes.
Anna's mother was in town for the birth and for a month after. It was great. And a couple weeks in, she said, you guys need to go out and have a date night. You need to get away from the baby for a couple hours. We were like, yes, you're right. But you just don't think, like, your mind is so focused on the baby.
Yes.
But we did go out for a night at, I'll mention the restaurant because we like it a lot. Gather in Lincoln Square is excellent. And we sit down, and honest to God, Patty, the next table over, there's this couple with a baby that is about, looks like she's 3 weeks old, maybe.
Right.
And I just said to Anna, well, we can't really escape it, can we?
No.
But, you know, she was well-behaved.
Right, well, you can't feel bad that you didn't bring your baby.
No.
See, we could have brought the baby. No.
For a second, I did. And then I was like, that's crazy.
No.
No.
No, 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 no. Enjoy all of it. I mean, and I'm not one of those moms that was like, oh, I miss when they were this and I miss when they were that. I mean, like once in a while you have the pangs of that.
Mm-hmm.
Every single age. Griffin continues to astound me. Declan is starting to look at me with a look of like, you know, my son who has special needs has this look of like, where are you going? Why aren't you hanging out with me? Come down on the floor and cuddle with me.
Mm.
And, you know, Griffin's very political. I know we are coming up to the top of the hour, but we were talking off the air a little bit about your baby being born at this very bizarre political atmosphere.
Yeah.
It's sort of a strange time because John Craig, by the way, was mentioning how he had come in early on during Trump's candidacy and poo-pooed it in a way that I believe Professor Paul Green did, and a cartoonist and political editor for the Chicago political cartoonist for the Tribune also was like, guy's not going to last.
Yeah.
I believe you may have also thought he wasn't going to go
the distance. I said I was on this show and I said, Patty, we are still in silly season here. I think that people are just doing this for entertainment. So just supporting Trump out for entertainment. You have come to mind. And every time Trump racks up another win, I'm like, well, Patty was right about that one.
I don't like being right. But we've listened to a lot of the comments that callers have made, both talking to us on the show. They've texted us. It really seems to be that people feel disenfranchised. And for whatever reason, this seems to be the person that I guess is going to franchise them or enfranchise them.
I mean,
I'm not sure.
I noticed this thing watching CNN. I watched the results on CNN. I think they have the best pundits and the best anchors. They're not perfect, but I do think as far as the cable news nets are concerned, they have the best talent. But they color code their maps so idiotically. Like for the Republican caucus, everybody gets a different shade of red on the map.
Because
the red, you know, it's red versus blue. And so you can hardly tell who's winning county by county because everybody has pretty much the same color. And I thought they're so committed to this red versus blue narrative that has hung over politics for the past, almost 20 years now, that they're even interfering with their own ability to convey information to stick to it. And what strikes me about it is how it doesn't really seem to be a good fit for this election because the story is not red versus blue. It's really what you're saying, this sort of insurgent anti-establishment energy that has been talked about in past presidential elections, but is now really coming to
somehow manifested in the form of Donald Trump, which is surprising, I think.
And Bernie Sanders.
And Bernie Sanders. I agree. There's the people who feel like, yes, I want a revolution. I want change. I want free education. With Donald Trump, we want to close our borders. We want to keep Muslims out. There are things that speak to the core of what many Americans believe, and we didn't we get to go, oh, I didn't realize that. Let's figure out a different way to have a conversation with each other rather than yelling and being red and blue.
Well, and that's the only...
Let me take a break here. Okay. Otherwise we can keep going. And Craig's like, I just said go, go, go. All right, let's go real quick. Look at me. I can be Santa. I am so excited. I hope Mark Carman is as excited as I am for our adventures to commence next week. Hey, Carm, how are you doing?
Patty, I'm doing great, and I'm very excited as well, although more excited today as I have been working extensively with the sergeant and upper management at WGN to secure the Carman suite.
Uh-oh.
Yes.
You're getting a Carman suite. Interesting.
Well, when I say suite, I do mean room, without roommates.
I think that you really are passing up an opportunity to experience something new, open up your world, you know, new horizons, hang out with a stranger.
Or at least entertain us every night on this radio show.
That's the one I was going for.
Yep. Well, now, that's interesting, because I did have that thought process, like, for a guy that, does tend to live, at least particularly these days, alone and on my own, as I look over at my stuffed animal Arnold here, I was thinking that, it might be an opportunity to connect with some outstanding WGN listener / future Marine. So going into my own room might be the wrong move.
Can we go back to your stuffed animal, Arnold?
Before we have Mark tell us anything about him, you want to guess on what Arnold is, Patty?
I'm going to go, Arnold is a bull.
I think it's Schwarzenegger.
Thank you for laughing.
Is it a Terminator doll?
Thank you for laughing, Mark.
It is not a bull.
Okay.
I'm willing to take calls here. What animal is Arnold?
What animal is Arnold? 312-981-7200, calls and texts. What animal do you think Carman sleeps with at night?
Such a good animal. There he is. What's up, buddy?
Do you hug it? I mean, do you, like, roll over and, like, do you curl into the animal, the stuffed animal?
I mean, I just make sure that he's properly adjusted when we're going into the bedtime, that he's got a nice spot. And when I leave in the morning, that he's perched properly, and is able to protect the premises against any would be intruders.
Is perched a clue?
Ooh, interesting.
Probably not.
Okay. Right.
Probably not.
How long has Arnold been around?
Long time. Arnold's got history, man. I mean, this dude's been chilling for a long time. I mean, we're talking upwards of maybe 30 years.
Wow. Yeah. Arnold's been your life for a very long time. Are you bringing Arnold with you to San Diego to the boot camp?
No, Arnold doesn't travel. He's a little fragile, and we don't want to stress him out. And somebody's got to watch the homestead again here, Patty.
Don't want to push your luck on that.
Right. So, I mean, it will be tough being away from him for 5 days.
Oh, man. All right. Well, you'll be okay. I'm sure there'll be other – you and I will talk on the phone at night. And try to keep each other company after my show. Make sure that you're not feeling lonely away from Arnold. We do have a listener who would like to guess as to what animal. Ruth, what kind of animal do you think Carm sleeps with at night?
Well, I'm going to go with, I have two choices. A monkey. You're the monkey. Good luck.
It is not a monkey. That is incorrect, Ruth.
Not a monkey.
A dragon.
Or a dragon. Ruth's taking swings at this. No dragon?
Ruth, I need some tenderness in my life. I'm not rocking a dragon. That's not my look.
Interesting. Tenderness, I believe, is a hint that we've been given. Tenderness. Not a monkey nor a dragon. Okay, let's see what Rich thinks. Rich, what animal do you think Carm sleeps with at night?
I think he sleeps with a pig.
A pig.
Green Acres. Arnold the pig.
Do you sleep with a pig at night?
Shockingly, no. It is not a pig.
All right.
We have a Lumen Eyes gift card to the winner. If someone can guess what animal Carm sleeps with at night. 312-981-7200. Thanks, Rich. Have a good night. I do love my producer screen right now. Not monkey, not dragon, not pig.
I just want to make sure stay on top of this.
It's my favorite screen we've ever had the girls are ready in the green room with Jell-O. I believe that was one of my favorite ones. Yeah. That was for my show, not your show, Carm. You don't have the best producer at the station. I'm just saying.
No, I clearly not. And I wish I had been visiting the Patty Vasquez show the night there was girls in the green room with Jell-O. My God.
That's outstanding. You
got
to get up late at night to hang out with the Pretty Late Show. That's all
now,
I'm saying.
I am curious. We are getting a lot of text messages, and the answers are all over the place. Do we start taking texts or wait till the end of this?
I think we take, let's do three texts. Let's give three texters a shot at this.
Is Arnold in Aardvark?
Oh, Aardvark. Interesting.
Arnold is not in Aardvark. And Arnold, I was looking at him right there. He did not even like the insinuation that he made.
Oh. Is Arnold the goat?
Oh. Hold on a second.
Arnold is not a goat.
Not a goat. Okay.
Nope.
I'm surprised this hasn't been guessed yet.
Goat's a large animal to be sleeping in bed with. I mean, this, you know, I don't want to take up too much space.
Depends on if it's to scale.
Someone is asking if Arnold is a teddy bear.
Teddy bear.
Arnold is not a teddy bear.
Ooh.
Wow.
It is kind of to scale. It is to scale. I will be.
All right. You a what? Yeah. Right. By the way, when we're done with this contest, we also are going to need a selfie with you and Arnold, by the way.
Yeah, I was already there. I think Arnold's going to be going up at the Carm via the Twitter. Me and Arnold, we'll have to make an appearance.
Well, you have some callers on the line, so let's take a quick break here, give them a chance to give their answers, and 312-981-7200 to win a $25 gift card to Lou Malnati's. Tell us, what animal does Carm sleep with at night? More after this on 720 WGN. Like old MacDonald had a farm, E-I-E-I-O. Well, Carm's got some kind of farm going on at home. He every night he sleeps with a stuffed animal named Arnold, and we want to know what our listeners think. What kind of animal does Carm sleep with at night? Carm, by the way, lovely picture. I'm not going to tell people too much about it because now we're just giving away the farm, Carm.
Well, I went a little further, but Patty, I like to reward my Twitter followers.
There you go. Well, we'll see. Let's see if any of our listeners on the line have a guess as to what animal Carm sleeps with. Hi, Sue. How are you doing?
Hey, I'm doing well. Hi, everybody.
Hello. What do you think?
I go with a panda.
Aw, I can see Carm curling up with a panda. Is Arnold a panda, Carm?
Arnold is not a panda, but I might have to add a panda into my life. That might be the key for me.
They're really cute and cuddly.
They are. Everyone needs a panda in their life. Sue, do you have a stuffed animal at home?
Yeah, I do. Actually, I do have a little stuffed panda and an elephant and a little bear.
See?
Hey, sometimes they help out.
I agree. It's good to have some pals.
Thank you.
Thank you, Sue. I agree completely. John, what animal do you think Carm sleeps with at night? John? Do I have mine?
Oh, yes. I'm sorry. I believe that it would be a chicken.
A chicken. Carm, is it a chicken? Rock, rock, rock. No, I'm sorry.
It is not a chicken. And, Patty, if I may make one request, if you could just, like, rephrase what animal does Carm sleep with at night?
Why, Carm? I think it's appropriate.
It mentioned tenders, and I thought that would be a chicken tenders.
Oh, I see. That was a good guess. John, do you have any stuffed animals in your life?
Not anymore. I have two cats that sleep with me, and that's enough.
Right. No. Enough maintenance there. Got to change that litter box. All right. Thank you, John. Thank you for a good guess,
Thank you.
Appreciate it.
Good night.
Patty, can I phrase the question to our next listener?
Yes. Hold on one second. Here we go.
I'm very excited.
Audrey, Craig has a question for you.
Audrey, what animal does Mark Carman spoon at night when he goes to sleep?
This might be a little bit difficult, but I think an armadillo.
Armadillo. Carm, do you spoon with an armadillo at night?
That's a very bold vision right there. Carm and myself in an armadillo. No, it is not an armadillo.
It is not an armadillo. Thank you, Audrey. Have a great
Thank you.
Night. Thank you. Chris, what... what animal do you think Carm snuggles with at night?
Well, everybody needs to count sheep, so I'm going to say sheep.
Oh, I like that.
It is not a sheep, and I think it's very key. The word stuffed is the big word here that we're missing, Patty.
It sure is, Mark Carmen.
It is the important key word. Chris, do you have any stuffed animals that you cuddle with?
No, but my son does. He likes the hockey mascot, the Black Hawk.
Oh, Tommy Hawk. He's got Tommy Hawk?
Yeah, he's got Tommy Hawk.
That's pretty cool. Well, thank you, Chris. Have a good night. Great guest, though.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. We have Eva. Eva, do I say Eva or Ava?
Eva.
Eva.
Eva, I'm curious. Mark Carmen on one side of the bed. What animal is on the other side of the bed?
Well, I thought it might be a parrot or a macaw, a bird.
Parrot?
It is not a parrot.
It's not a parrot nor a macaw.
No.
Eva, what was your favorite animal growing up, your favorite stuffed animal?
I didn't have one. I just sleep with a dog and a cat.
Oh, there you go.
Real life.
The real, these snuggles, little snuggles. Thank you so much, Eva.
Okay, thank
Appreciate
you.
It. We have Glenn on the line. Glenn, what animal do you think Carm curls up with at night? Glenn? Nope, Glenn left. Glenn,
what?
Glenn's guess. We'll see someone else come back around with that guess. We have Ed. Ed, how are you doing tonight?
Fine, thank you. I am guessing that Arnold could be a giraffe.
Ooh, a giraffe.
A giraffe is a lovely animal. I have seen giraffes in the zoo, but no. Again, a giraffe is a very long neck. I just don't see that as a cuddling situation. So no, it is not a giraffe.
Gotcha. Well said. Thank you, Ed.
A few more quick texts before we get back to the phone calls. Okay. We have a turtle from Helen.
Mm-hmm.
Is it
a turtle?
Is not a turtle. It reminds me, by the way, there was in a past relationship for me, we had many, many stuffed animals, and it was a moment in time where she came along and said, you know what, I think it's time for us to get rid of the stuffed animals. And, we weren't seeing eye to eye. I think that was basically the end of it. And I believe there was a turtle in that situation, but there isn't a turtle now. Continue on, please.
All right. From the 815, there's a sloth as a guess.
Oh, a sloth. Interesting.
I guess that's a no.
Is it a three-toed sloth?
Yeah. And then from the 262, is it a baby David Kaplan?
Aww. I can see that in my mind's eye, and it will never go away.
It is not anything related to El Capo, who I don't believe would find this segment to be. He probably does not have any stuffed animals. I think he thinks that this would be, not masculine enough for him.
But right now, by the way, I'm being texted by friends of mine trying to guess at this. I'm not even kidding you. From Zanies, another guess at a teddy bear, which I think we already hear. Let me go down the list so that before we get to Kathy and Rich, let's see. We have not a monkey, not a dragon, pig, aardvark, goat, teddy bear, panda, chicken, armadillo, sheep, parrot, macaw, giraffe, turtle, sloth, or baby David Kaplan.
Am I the only person that sleeps with this animal? This is unbelievable.
I don't know. I guess that's a question we have to ask. We have to ask a wider range of people. Let's see. Let's go with Rich first. Rich, what do you think Carm sleeps with at night?
Hi, Patty. I'm the old retired military guy that gave Carm a hard time last week.
Let's say Carm shows up with a stuffed animal at Marine Corps boot camp. How's that go down for him?
I think if he was to buy a stuffed bulldog, it might go good because a bulldog's a Marine mascot. But
interesting.
I think he sleeps with a cuddly dugly dog because he said it was over 30 years, and that's about the time Ray Rayner had those cuddly dudley dogs you can get.
Oh, he went specific. Do you cuddle with a cuddly dudley dog, Carm?
I like the time frame that my sergeant is going with here, but no, it is not a dog or a cuddly dudley dog. Not exactly sure what that is, but it is neither.
Okay. Thank you, buddy. Thank you, Rich. How do you think Carm's going to fare at Marine Corps boot camp?
Rich, pardon me?
How do you think he'll fare at Marine Corps boot camp? Just based on his attitude, the impression that you have, and his many appearances on our show.
I think he'll do all right. I don't think he's going to get beat up like the kids would, because you guys are going out there with educators.
Mm-hmm.
And the Marines will want to put everything in a good light, so they're not gonna beat you guys up too bad. You know, right. I mean, they'll probably let you do some of the small stuff on the obstacle course. They'll probably let you go out to the rifle range and fire a few rounds.
There you go. Well, Rich, I guarantee.
Maybe they'll let you throw a practice grenade, you know. So.
I don't know if that's necessary to give Karma a live grenade.
What makes a grenade a practice grenade, by the way?
Yes, that's a good question.
Well, they use them. They're not grenades, as you see, that blow up. They've just got like a small charge in them that gives off a flower charge. So you throw it and you see it.
Poof, like a little just, a cloud. Of,
yeah.
Okay,
yeah,
fair enough.
Because the Air Force uses practice bombs like that for their airplanes, too, that are just filled with flowers. So when they hit, it's just a white puff of smoke.
Fair enough. All right. Well, thank you so much for your insight, Rich. Yep. And it was not a dog.
Right. I'll try to call you guys next week because you're out there next week, right?
Yes, we are. Please call us anytime.
You better call next week, Rich. I want to hear from you.
Yeah, I agree.
I hate you.
Let's see. Thank you so much, Rich. Kathy, tell us what animal do you think Carm sleeps with at night? Kathy?
Oh, hi, Daddy.
Hi,
Kathy. I think it's a duck.
Is it a duck, Carm?
Kathy, you are correct.
Hey! Congratulations, Kathy.
Hey, thanks.
Did you, is that an animal that you sleep with, or did you check out Carm's Twitter account?
No, I think you played a song. Old MacDonald had a farm, and on that farm he had a duck.
That was it. I think Craig would have played that either way, but it just so happened to be on that.
That
verse.
Was a quinky dink.
That was
not
a quinky dink. Yes,
okay.
But good for you, Kathy.
Pretty lucky.
It led you to a $25 gift card from Lou Malnati's. Hold on the line, and Craig will get all of your information, and so we will send that out to you. Absolutely, go to loumalnati's.com for information about all the Chicagoland locations, and you can order one from wherever you are. They'll send it to you. It's a frozen delicious pizza, Carm. So why a duck?
It's just been in the family for a long time, Patty, and I have kept the tradition going, and I didn't feel like Arnold should be given away, so I said I will take Arnold on, and he has stuck with me.
I have to say, looking at his picture on Twitter, he has a lot of personality. Esmeralda, I don't know if you follow Carm on Twitter at all, but if you check out his duck, it's quite impressive and adorable.
I did see the duck, very serious looking duck.
He is a little bit, he's kind of cute though. He's got a little, you know, and he obviously cheers up Carm. Like it just brightens up a picture.
Does he have colorful feathers considering he's a male duck?
He's got a nice little grayness going on, a little white tail and his cute little legs. And, he brings a certain seriousness yet comfort to the table. So, you know, Arnold's not messing around here. He's seen a lot of things through his years.
Oh boy!
So, you know, this
Wait,
is a so guy that is ready to play.
Do you like you actually cuddle and sleep with it? I'm just curious.
Well, you know, now we're getting super personal, Esmeralda. But I think on occasion, depending on the vulnerability at the time, Arnold has gotten a couple cuddles for sure, and probably a lot more as of lately. But normally he's good, just being left on his own, but, you know, I think, you know, he appreciates being able to step in if need be and provide that comfort, and that's what you got to love about an Arnold.
Real quick, Carm from the 312, the guy seriously sleeps with a duck. Please tell Carm it's not too late to jump over to Canada to get out of boot camp.
Oh,
you should get Arnold a little army outfit.
Oh, a little marine. He needs a marine uniform. I love that. We can see if Anna G, our costume designer, can get Arnold a Marine Corps uniform.
If Arnold's going to boot camp next week, we promise we will provide his boot camp attire.
A little duffel bag.
Oh, for sure.
I mean, maybe I could bring Arnold along just for, you know, maybe he'd like to travel. But, you know, this neck of his, it's a little, you know, it's a little wonky. You throw him in a suitcase, I feel like the neck's going to snap. It's just better for him to...
Well, then you just hold him.
Right, you carry him on the plane with you.
Yeah, well, I've seen that look, and it's normally for six-year-olds. And as comfortable as I am in my masculinity, I don't know if I want to walk through the airport with the Marines and a duck. I just don't know if that's the...
But he's going to be wearing...
He'll have a Marine Corps uniform on. I think people will salute you carrying a Marine Corps duck with you.
At least just a little hat or a little army shirt. Oh, gosh, it'd be so cute.
This has to happen. Please make this happen.
Yeah, I think so.
Well, I mean, if it's to that level, then, you know, we're going to have to, we might have to get it done. I got to say, It's been really fantastic where this show has gone the last couple of weeks.
I'm sure there are sports going on somewhere in the world, but
yes,
you know, it's a nice.
It's much, very much a downtime. This is much better.
any time spent with you is so much better, Carm. We appreciate you joining us and sharing with us. I mean, it's not every man that can be vulnerable like you on the air and, you know, expose himself in this manner.
Well, I don't know if that's good or bad. I'm going to take it as a positive.
It's most definitely a positive.
And I look forward to next week. I'm sure we'll have plenty of tales to share.
Well, if you have a night, you can come in starting tomorrow night. Tomorrow night we've got cocktails from Zany's. Thursday we've got cocktails from Knife and Tine, and I'm sure we'll have cocktails on Friday. So if you want to come in and have a drink, and we'll talk about our adventures that are pending for next week, we'd love to have you in studio if you don't mind.
All right. Awesome. Thank you, Patty.
All right. Thanks, Carm. Follow him on Twitter at The Carm and see his lovely photo with Arnold. The white side and Rich Lankoff in a legal face off. Hear the knowledge they got. Legal points and counterpoint. Jay, you know the drill. From sports to Hollywood and the politics world. Don't forget the current events that occur. You're listening pretty late, and that is the music for Legal Face Off with Paul. Oh, Paul. Who's Paul? That must be the other guy, right? You're Rich Lankoff, and the other guy's name is Paul something or another?
might as well change his name to Paul for all the abuse we give him.
Yeah, exactly. Jason Whiteside and Rich Lankoff, they face off on Legal Face Off every week on WGNplus.com. There's a lot going on. I know you had a long conversation with Matt Bubala about the Apple iPhone and the FBI. Now there are protests, and I don't know how I feel about this, but where do you stand on the iPhone debacle?
I think that I stand with the government, short answer, because Apple's done this like 70 times on prior occasions. I think they're doing this, as they actually admitted in the court documents, more to protect their reputation than any legitimate privacy rights. I mean, if you read their response, they actually say that this is a brand issue, not a privacy issue. Now they're coming out and saying it's a First Amendment issue and it's compelled speech. But, you know, if it's compelled speech and it's really a privacy issue, why were they okay with decrypting phones on 70 prior occasions?
Previous actions have an impact on this case? If you've done it before, then you shouldn't have a problem with it now?
For sure. I mean, mm-hmm. You know, the precedent is there on 70, at least 70 prior occasions that we're aware of, that Apple was okay with doing that. You know, doing that. So why, in this case, are they suddenly taking a stand? The government has always had a legitimate interest in subpoenaing people's evidence, obtaining a search warrant for people's homes. This is not that much different, I think. So I think Apple, even though they have support, I think, of a lot of the tech companies, although we see that eroding, Bill Gates came out today, you know, strongly on the side of the government. I think ultimately they'll have to give it up. And listen, I mean, it's, you know, very convenient for Apple to say they're not going to comply with a court order. I mean, I was in federal court today here in Chicago. You don't have the luxury generally of disobeying with a judge's order, let alone a federal court judge. Those are serious, you know, judges.
Well, it certainly gives Apple a huge amount of publicity to say we are standing up to the FBI. Is that a component of this?
Of course, yeah. I mean, I think it's a great PR stunt for Apple to, for Tim Cook to come out and say we are doing this to protect our customers. And, you know, we saw, as you mentioned today, there was some action at the Apple store on Michigan Avenue and Black Lives Matter got involved. I think it's a great PR move for them, but, you know, what about the families of the victims of the San Bernardino shooting? I mean, everyone wants the information that's on this phone. I think everyone could agree on that. And I don't think the government is looking to open, you know, the portal that Apple's talking about. This can be a one-off. Apple could do it very easily. So I think ultimately they will have to comply with the judge's order.
Well, it's one of those things where it's I want to make sure that the FBI has access to all the information that they need if they were communicating with somebody else, if there was a bigger plan or other, you know, people involved. That's important information to have. I mean, that's just where I come from, I guess. I'm really bad when it comes to these privacy things. Cause I never really, I always feel like I'm good with Big Brother, and that sounds really dangerous. And speaking of which, I think in a similar situation, we have all these cameras all around the city, whether it's for surveillance, but now also there's a case that's been, a judge has decided that all the red light cameras and the speeding cameras are perhaps null and void for all the tickets that they've issued in the last 10 years.
Yeah. Last Friday, Judge Kennedy here in the Circuit Court of Cook County said that because these tickets were issued and there wasn't a second notice sent out to violators, then there is the potential that they won't have to, that this class of people won't have to pay the fines, and that the entire system will be null and void.
Wow. I mean, that's pretty staggering considering how much revenue the city gets from that. But it sounds like another case where it's going to be a while before that's actually, you know, anyone's going to get any of their money back.
Yeah, I mean, it's unclear right now whether, I mean, the city, of course, has come out strongly and said that this doesn't mean that they won't be able to enforce the violations. And the mayor came out today and said the same thing. Remember, I mean, you know, these are people who did break the law. I mean, you know, we've all, I'm sure, gotten these tickets over the last 5 or 6 years. There's no question that the violators committed the crime and in fact got a first notice of it. What they're saying is they didn't get a second notice, therefore, you know, they shouldn't have to pay. I mean, from the city's perspective, and, you know, myself as a former prosecutor, it's a little hard to swallow that people should be let off simply because they ignored, first of all, they broke the law. Second of all, they ignored the first notice. And because they didn't receive a second notice, they shouldn't pay. So,
I mean, so is that throwing all the cases out? Because a lot of people just pay it as soon as they get the notice. So if they didn't blow past that and just let it sit there, are they also eligible for reimbursement if this goes through?
Yeah, I mean, again, the city has come on and said we're not going to refund anyone, and you know, we disagree with the judge's ruling. So we'll see how it plays out. I mean, there's a class action lawsuit brought by three individuals that will ultimately form a class that will seek that, you know, that back pay and refunds. I don't know whether that class will be certified and whether the city. I mean, listen, the city's obviously in a financial mess. Ironically, not in small part because of deals like this red camera situation. So, you know, we'll see how that plays out. But it was an interesting decision on Friday.
You wouldn't recommend that anyone who gets a red light ticket or a speeding ticket at this point blow it off because they might benefit from the outcome of this case?
Yeah, I mean, I would pay that. The fine is doubled if you don't pay it the first time, and that's what a lot of the plaintiffs in this case are saying was the issue. They didn't get the second notice and the fine, you know, doubled. I certainly wouldn't recommend that people violation.
Right. We're advising you. Your counselor is advising you to pay the fine if there's a reimbursement later, deal with it then. We have Rob Martier who wanted to join the conversation about the iPhone and the FBI situation. Hey, Rob.
Yeah, not that I want to rewind the conversation because
you can.
Fantastic with our current guest. I'm a big fan. But there was a tech expert on WGN yesterday and brought up an interesting component to this Apple and FBI situation and then the court order basically telling them to, you know, open up this iPhone. And that was the intellectual property aspect of them trying to protect what they've developed over years and years of developing the iPhone and the fact that they don't want that getting out just in case somebody can grab onto that algorithm and then go ahead and use it as their own.
Interesting. Is that an element here too?
No, I mean, I guess the question here is, well, yeah, let me phrase it in terms of a question. Is that a certainly a legitimate argument moving forward that Apple would like to protect that intellectual property?
Yeah, I mean, I think so. There was a long lawsuit involving Apple and I think it was Samsung involving intellectual property that went on for years. I think that's a little bit a legitimate issue. I don't know, you know, whether decrypting this phone will open them up to an IP violation. I obviously don't know the technology of that. But, you know, that's an argument they're going to make. It could be persuasive. That has a lot of, I think, that would have a lot of public support. But, you know, again, they've argued so far that this is a privacy issue. I haven't heard too much about the IP issue, but I think it's a good point.
Thank you, Rob. Hey, Rob, you went out and checked out the protest tonight. What was it like over there?
It was pretty interesting. Like we've been reporting, it was the Black Lives Matter and then those who support that movement basically hijacking, if you will, the Apple supporters. You know, everyone was pretty well behaved. The Apple supporters kind of backed off and let the other folks have their moment. And there was obviously a huge police presence in, around the Apple store on North Michigan Avenue. So I'd have to say there were at least 2 to 3 cops to every one protester that was at the scene. And then the Black Lives Matter folks pushed on up to Watertown Place, and everything kind of died down after that.
Interesting. Well, I mean, it's, you know, it's, at least it was peaceful, and there were, you know, people having their concerns voiced in a format that was, you know, I didn't even realize it was happening. I didn't realize there were people protesting in different parts of the country about this. But, you know, it's good that people are keeping it in our consciousness of being aware of what's going on so we can form our own opinions about it.
Absolutely. It's a hot topic.
Exactly. Thank you, Rob. Be safe, will you?
Okay, bye.
All right, how's the highway? Good. All right. I always like to know. Hey, Rich, I don't know much about what's going on with Kesha and her is it her agent, her manager? I don't even know hardly anything about this story. So will you catch me up on this when we come back after a break?
Yes, of course.
Excellent. We're talking to attorney Rich Lenkoff, the more talented, and I haven't met him yet, but I'm going to go ahead and just wager more attractive half of Legal Face Off with Jason Whiteside. More after this on 728 WGN. That's Kesha, and that's the singer we are talking about. She is in the news. On Friday, a judge ruled that she cannot record music outside of Sony Music, despite the fact that she is alleged and is suing her producer, Dr. Luke, that he had abused her, had raped her. And a lot of other performers are coming out in support of Kesha, including Lady Gaga, Lena Dunham. Wendy Williams has asked why Kesha did not film the alleged rape, which is a bizarre thing to, I guess, propose someone do. Rich Lenkoff, our legal expert and the better half of Legal Face Off on WGN Plus, is joining us on the line. What are your thoughts on this case? What kind of jumps out at you?
Well, first of all, Kesha owes me money because I came up with the line, before I leave, brush my teeth with a bottle of Jack. I've been using that for, you know, at least 10 years, but...
That was good to know. It's good. Yeah, it's a germ killer, right? It gets rid of the bacteria. Makes sense.
Yeah, it's got a multitude of oral hygiene uses.
It's like Listerine without the burning mint.
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly.
Fair enough.
So she, on Friday, the judge ruled that she is tied to her contract with Sony. She has a recording contract with Sony, has for about 10 years. She has sued Sony, asking to be let out of her contract because of the abuse that she's alleged against her longtime producer, Dr. Luke. Not sure what kind of doctor he is, but his name is Dr. Luke. And the judge ruled that she should not be allowed out of the contract. The judge said that if she wanted to, she can work with another producer, but the contract stands. What is really interesting, you know, she's alleged a variety of allegations against Dr. Luke. She said that he's drugged her and raped her and assaulted her and given her illicit drugs and a variety of offenses. But I looked at they released a clip of a deposition she gave in 2011, and the attorney asked her specifically whether he ever abused her, whether he ever physically abused her, whether he ever gave her a roofie was one of the questions, and she denied all of those under oath in this deposition from 2011. So, you know, if I was the Sony attorney, I would certainly point to that deposition, again, under oath, as proof that her current allegations may be lacking credibility a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, and that's tough too, because I think that an attorney would also, couldn't he argue, or he or she argue, that Kesha was under emotional stress, she was afraid. You know, sometimes victims aren't willing to come forward and tell the truth because they feel threatened in some way.
Well, yes, sure, but you know,
then she would be.
Why would you suddenly change your mind around the time that you're trying to get out of your contract with, you know, a record company? It's interesting timing. You know, certainly you sympathize with someone who has been abused, raped. If that's what happened, then, you know, she certainly has a cause of action against him. Whether that translates to her getting out of her contract with the record company is a different story. You know, you would think, and the recording, and Sony has, you know, said that there is a variety of producers she can use. She has countered and said, well, I would be blackballed by Sony if I stayed with the contract. So I agree with you that victims often are reluctant to come forward. And maybe in 2011, when she gave this deposition, you know, she was still under his influence and here to come forward. But if you look at the deposition, she, you know, it's pretty compelling testimony.
Well, let's talk a little bit. You said that it seems to be timed with her attempt to get out of her contract. I've signed entertainment contracts before, nothing this big, not even on this level, but development deals with a studio. Now I feel like I'm asking for advice, Craig. One of the things that comes up with a performer, somewhere along the way, and not my lawyer, I will say that my attorney has never said, "We'll just sign this now, and if something comes up, we'll work with it." He for the most part was always trying to get a better deal, whether it had to do with what the other performers on the show might be getting, everything from the dressing room to weekly fees and things like that, you know, producer credits and stuff like that for a TV show. But there are people around entertainers who say, take what you can get now, because this is, no one else is offering you something. Sign up for as long as they say. You could always try to, negotiate something better later on. You've heard this. Contracts are made to be broken. Have you heard that before?
I've heard that,
yes.
Frequently.
Yes.
For sure. Yeah. As an attorney, I don't believe in that mantra, obviously, but you do hear that, sure.
Well, and because I get really nervous when comedians just sign whatever contract is put in front of them without reading, because I don't know how many entertainment contracts you've read. Sometimes they'll say things like, even if it's your material, but it inspires something at the network to create something about it, we also own that.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, listen, I mean, just interestingly, I was listening to Howard Stern about an hour ago, and he had Robert Downey on. It was a 2011 interview, and they were talking about his first his contract for the first Iron Man movie, when Robert Downey basically couldn't get arrested in Hollywood, and he signed a deal that basically got him $1 million and gave the studio all the rights, and the first Iron Man movie probably made $500 or $600 million. Recording contracts, entertainment contracts, the kind that you're talking about, which I see a lot of, they're notoriously one-sided, right?
Yes.
You've heard a million stories about famous artists who sign their first contract and sign away everything because they're in an inequitable bargaining position.
Right.
So, that could be the case with Kesha. On the other hand, she was represented, I assume, and she signed the deal.
Is 10 years, is that, sounds kind of extraordinarily long.
Yeah, I mean, these vary. But again, it was her first contract, and she was, a lot less famous than she is now. Those initial contracts are sometimes very long, like 10 years.
Yeah, that just seems very, very long. It's a vulnerable situation to be in, and a lot of people are coming to Kesha's defense. But, this is one of those things where it doesn't matter what the public opinion is. The judge has the information in front of them, and they'll arrive at a decision. Before we let you go, one last thing. I believe today, behind closed doors, there were senators who were saying they won't even take a hearing on Justice Scalia's seat. Have you heard anything about that?
I saw them come out in force, Mitch McConnell and the rest of the leadership come out and say they're not going to even talk about considering Scalia's replacement. They're not even going to entertain it, which I was really surprised at, because it seemed like the momentum over the last few days was moving towards them having a hearing on Obama's pick, which everyone agrees. I mean, listen, everyone except for Republican leaders and presidential candidates agrees that it's a no-brainer. I mean, obviously the Constitution says that Obama has the right to do this. He has the right to do it until the last day in office. I think Joe Biden, although they uncovered an old Joe Biden clip where he said when he was on the Judiciary Committee that, you know, that this is not done in the last year of the presidency, which doesn't help. It was from like 20 years ago. But listen, we had a couple days ago on Legal Faceoff, we had two former Supreme Court clerks who unequivocally said, I mean, there's no two ways about it. The Constitution makes it clear that the president picks the successor and the Senate advises and consents. So the fact that they came out today and said that, I think, is just pure, you know, pure politics.
Could somebody sue and force them to? Could this be something that's decided in the courts ultimately that they, to compel them to hold hearings and meetings?
Yeah, I think the administration can take it to court. Ironically, would probably end up in the Supreme Court.
Right.
So that's a possibility, but you know, I would be shocked if they continue down that path. I mean, public sentiment seems to be in line with what is obvious, which is let him make the pick. If they decide not to affirm him, that's, you know, not to affirm the replacement, that's one thing, but you got to at least go through the process.
Well, Rich, Donald Trump is the leading GOP candidate. I don't know how anybody can be surprised by anything that happens politically or judicially, I guess, in this country. So I kind of observe. We all comment and just wait to see what's going to happen next.
Yeah, continues to be interesting and great stuff to talk about. There's no shortage of legal news ever. So
no.
Wait for our show.
Ever. Well, we look forward to talking to you. I won't be in studio next week, but you know, we'd love to have you on the phone again. I'll be in San Diego at Marine Corps Boot Camp. Love to catch up with you on all the legal news of the week.
Sounds great.
Have a great night. That's Rich Lakoff. Catch him on Legal Face Off on WGNplus.com. Here, it's time for our news. Thank you for hanging out with us pretty late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase Studio on Michigan Avenue, where all seems absolutely pristine and calm. It does indeed feel like the calm before the storm, Craig, just a little bit. I'm trying to figure out if I should get a hotel room for tomorrow. I mean, I could just stay in our office.
Yeah, I guess. You can just sleep there.
Yeah.
I think that's better, you know, cost effective.
Exactly.
And we don't have any windows, as you've said before,
it's
which is very nice. Yeah.
And maybe I should bring a couple extra pillows tomorrow. Mm.
It gets a little chilly, too.
It does. You know what? Thank you for reminding me. That's what I need is a blanket.
At least one, yeah.
Yeah, I need a blanket.
Because you got to, like, put your coat on your body then.
I've done that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's not as
clearly
good.
You and I have been sleeping on this couch.
We both done
separately, uh-huh. Not at the same time, no. Everybody. Don't get any ideas, but I have in the past. I'm going to come early tomorrow. Well, how early are you going to, do you think you'll be trying to get down here?
I don't know. That's a really good question. I will leave earlier than normal, so definitely, you know, give myself enough time. And last time there was a big storm, I did have an accident. So I think I need to give myself as much time as possible.
When we had the Super Bowl storm, the pretty late blizzard in 2015, I came down. I left my house at 1 o'clock in the afternoon to make it for our 11 p.m. show. So I might go. I took public transportation the entire way.
Wow. Mm-hmm. How was that?
The bus I was on, Northwest Highway, the 68 Northwest Highway, slid sideways at one point through an intersection.
Okay.
So that was kind
not
of...
Not really selling that to me.
No. But at least it would be in his hands, not mine,
yeah.
If anything went...
Yeah, that's true. And you can always sue the city then, right?
I don't know about that.
Well, if you get injured.
Act of God, I'm guessing they'll say.
Oh, got it.
I don't know.
All right.
And then it took me a long time. I mean, I had to take the train. And there was a bit of a walk, but I was, you know, there's something about surviving. You feel like I walked two blocks and the blustery wind and ice in my face. I'll still be fine.
Yeah. I missed the warm weather just a week ago.
I'm going to San Diego on Monday.
Yeah, I know. That's not fair.
Really needed that week to start a week early. It was 60 degrees this weekend.
Yeah, it was amazing.
It was glorious.
This has been a wonderful winter, or not
you see,
that you're
I
supposed
did
to say that.
I did not do any jinxing this time. Mm-hmm. See, I was out of my hands.
Right.
Esmeralda, how do you prepare for a storm? Do you do anything special when it's going to snow?
I like to think I do, and then I forget, and then I have nothing to eat in my house, and then I'm just trying to put something together with all the weird stuff in my fridge and pantry.
Your own hodgepodge.
Yeah, pretty much.
It's the storm hodgepodge.
Yeah, I just start eating things in the fridge. I know I have some ice cream in there.
That's what snow makes you do, though. It makes you want to hunker down and, like, hibernate, as bears would do.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I do have some pork shoulder ragu, though, in my freezer.
So. I'm sorry, what? No one says they have pork shoulder ragu in their freezer.
Yeah. Why do you prepared sort of this time.
Pork shoulder.
What is sort of?
Well, because I didn't. It's not like I made it for the wind, for the storm.
Oh, got it.
It was just in there.
It was not specifically for this occasion.
Exactly.
I love eating soup with mittens on when it's cold outside. I don't know why. I like putting on mittens and just holding the soup bowl for a second, you know?
Wait, but in your house?
Yeah.
Do you get a garbage can in the middle of your living room and start a fire, too?
Yep,
what do you do?
Just like that, exactly.
Do you not
know.
Heat? What do you...
No. You just put on the mittens and you hold the bowl and you sit and you watch the snow fall. It's a thing, right?
Yeah, but why would you wear the mittens?
Adi, that's a good question. I just put them on. I kind of like the idea.
It makes you feel cozy.
It makes me feel connected to the winter, but not really experiencing it from a cold.
I could understand if you had...
And the bowl is
walking.
Yeah. It's a hot bowl, so I'm holding it with the mittens.
I know, but...
You know... Really? You guys should try this. Try, because then you don't have to, like, put the bowl on a pillow.
I have a question. On a pillow? Okay. What? Why are you putting a bowl on a pillow?
Because I eat my soup on the couch.
Do you have circulation issues?
We have to buy you trays.
I do not.
Your hands cold?
I eat my soup on the couch, and there's not really a good way to do that unless you have trays. We don't have those.
Why don't you have trays?
I don't know. So I choose to either put the soup on a pillow and just balance it and, like, eat it.
And that's dangerous.
Yeah, and if you, like, stain the pillow a little bit, that makes everybody mad. So mittens has been a better option.
You know what?
Go ahead.
Soup mugs.
Soup mugs?
Mm-hmm.
I eat soup out of a coffee mug.
No.
I have specific soup mugs.
I refuse to drink soup. That is not
You're
a...
not drinking soup,
yes,
but you have a handle to
if
it.
If it's in a cup, you're drinking that.
Yeah, but you have a spoon.
No. Oh, this is... I don't do that at all. I eat pasta directly out of a plate. Sometimes I cook it in.
This is the guy who says he eats it out of the pot, yes.
Right. That's the only rule that I break. I don't have food out of cups.
312-981-7200. Yay or nay on eating soup out of a coffee mug.
Or eating it with mittens on. It's no, really ingenious.
I have a specific soup mug. Like, it's for soup or other. It's not for drinking.
Okay.
I do coffee or anything. For soups and things like that.
I have a massive Macelle soup mug with a handle on it. It's so cool.
See, with a handle on it, though. So you guys are sipping that.
Mine has a handle.
It's not sipping it. That's how I can hold it.
That doesn't make...
I can drink it in bed. I like eating in bed.
Mitten boy.
Yeah, you eat with mittens
with
on
with a bowl
house.
On your it's pillow.
Lovely. It is lovely. You guys should try it.
I'm not going to.
Yeah, you should.
312-981-7200. What in the world is Craig talking about?
What's the real man doing owning mittens in the first place?
No, I will tell you, I love mittens.
Yeah, mittens are...
Mittens are the best because they keep all your fingers warm.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Especially when you're holding a hot bowl of soup, then you don't burn yourself.
But wouldn't your hands be... Oh, I see. Yeah, but that's... You get
There's
a soup
a preventative
mug and then
layer.
Problem solved.
Some weird mitten games that you're playing in your house, Craig. Understand.
That is a sentence I didn't expect tonight.
Weird mitten games.
I play them by myself. I play my mitten games alone.
Those mitten games are dangerous.
That's to be expected. To be expected. There's nothing more sort of, something that brings you down to being a toddler again than not being able to use all your fingers.
That's kind of a challenge, right?
Do you also have little clips on them so you don't lose them?
I do not. I should do that. I should get better mittens.
I've managed to keep my mittens. I usually lose them. I actually went once where, because I lost one, I had another lost one.
Mm-hmm.
So I just wore the two different colored mittens.
I fully expect to lose one of my gloves and or mittens throughout the course of a winter.
I just want to say to the people texting right now, I know it's weird. I get that it's odd. You don't have to be mean about it.
What do they say?
I can't read this on the air, but let's just not be, you know, I know it's a weird, you know.
Yes.
It's a life
hack.
Let's call it a life hack.
When someone is exposing themselves to you.
Exactly.
I mean sharing of themselves.
Right. When you get exposed
upon. When they peel back a layer, you go, huh, look at that. You don't go, what in the world is that? What's the matter with you? No, you just go, huh.
And you don't threaten to do things to my soup. That's not nice.
Although, wait, so are your mittens like the hobo mittens? Were they...
The fingerless
yep,
mittens.
Exactly, yes. Correct. Yeah, you can fold the fingers out.
Oh, okay. Because mm-hmm. I could see using them as hot
pads. I feel like I saw it on like a commercial or in an ad somewhere. Somebody was eating soup with mittens.
Or in a past life.
Or in a past life, yeah. Maybe Dr. Lars Dingman could tell
How
me about it.
How do you eat
it
with a spoon, though?
Well, it's a spoon. You just hold it. Like, you could do that with a mitten.
I mean, I guess because you have the hobo ones.
Yeah, and it's not a fork. I don't have to like stab at stuff. I just scoop, and I use a really big spoon,
you know, with your claw hand.
Oh, from the 708. I'm with Craig. I use the oven mitt all the time when I eat hot bowls of food.
See, this is what I thought, was that it was the oven mitt
situation.
That is
great. That's a great...
Yeah, that makes sense. You're wearing mittens.
I had done oven mitt in the past, and then it just naturally transitioned to regular mittens because it's easier. The oven mitt, that's really hard to use the spoon.
I don't understand. Let's take a break and see if we can sort all this out off the air. More after this on 720 WGN. It's Pretty Late. To update people who are wondering, Mark Harmon does not sleep with a goat, pig, chicken, or aardvark. I think that needs to be stated as loudly and as often as possible. Mark Harmon does not sleep with a goat, pig, chicken, or aardvark. What? I think this is one of my favorite shows ever. This is the strangest thing going on.
From the 847, I think that using mittens to eat soup is a pretty cool idea.
Are you just making up your own texts now?
No, I'll print this off for you. Look at this. From the 815, I eat oatmeal out of a cup. So there are pros and cons here.
Of the coffee mug.
What are the cons?
Yeah, what are the cons of eating
no,
a mug?
There are people that agree and disagree with me.
Oh, I see.
Yays and nays.
They're yays and nays. That's what I wanted.
Well, also there are
That's
no cons.
That's the phrase I wanted.
There are no cons to
No, there are cons to me. This guy who eats his thing out of a cup, that doesn't make any sense. That's a food product. That needs to go in a bowl or a plate.
And on a pillow on your lap. See, none of this
That is correct. Well, that's to avoid the heat. That's a different thing. This is a life hack. People do life hacks. I'm teaching everyone a life hack.
I'll give you a hack.
Okay.
Has Sports Illustrated swimsuit issue really... I mean, do they just keep trying to generate more... Like, they haven't done well in a long time, is what
no,
I'm saying.
No, I don't think so. I mean, they just paint people now, right?
And every year they say, no, this year we're going with real women. No, this year it's going to be real women.
It's going to be all bodies,
curvy
shapes,
women.
And sizes.
Although I did have to say, the woman on the cover does look like a real woman. Like, I feel better about myself.
Oh, good.
Honestly. It's so stupid. I shouldn't have to look at a magazine and go, yeah, I could be on that cover.
Well, I don't know. I mean, for the most part, every magazine you look at, it's one body type. So I think it does make sense.
And by the way, I could not be on this cover. She is stunning. But I mean, somebody who looks a little bit closer to what I see in the mirror once in a while, a little curvy, a little softer in some places.
Exactly. Although, do you know she's smooth? And I don't know if that's photoshopping, but she's very curvy smooth.
We're talking about dimpling.
Yeah, I want someone lumpy on there.
Yeah, I think we're probably never going to be able to cross that line. I think that demarcation has been established because I look in the mirror and I'm like, that's still there. I don't know what even gets rid of that. I've had cellulite on the backs of my thighs since I was 18 years old. I remember shopping when I was a lifeguard and looking behind, going, oh, that's
nothing.
Nothing. It's partly genetics.
Yes. Yeah. You can kind of. Minimize it.
Yes.
But it won't go away completely.
By the way, when I was in Texas, I saw women in 5-inch heels with 2-inch skirts and I just wanted to pull them aside and go, this is not a good look for you. This is not doing you any favors, my friend. You can't walk in those shoes. And when you do, there's a lot of jiggling coming out from the hem of that skirt because it was like those really tight skirts that like really cut off. It just makes them look so poorly shapen and not unattractive girls. It was actually their clothes making them look atrocious.
I like the hand things you're doing in there. Yeah. Poorly shapen.
Poorly shapen.
They're like molding clay.
Because like the elastic at the bottom of the hem, because these are really tight form-fitting skirts. You know the ones I'm talking about? Esmeralda, where it's kind of like a tube skirt almost, right, of a dress, right? So it's really tight at the bottom and then form-fitting all the way up. But, you know, if you have any sort of, you know, lumpiness that we're talking about, one, it kind of pops out of the bottom. You know, if you have any sort, it creates more shapes that you didn't need to create.
Yeah.
Yeah. More skin.
No, I'm very much for that. You need to dress for your body.
Yeah. I mean, if it's going to be that short, a little flowy, a little flounce.
By the way, from the 815, just go to IKEA and buy some damn food trays.
I'm with them on that. So you can go to a garage sale and buy some trays.
I just eat off my coffee table.
That too.
So you sit on the floor. Where is your coffee table?
I pull it.
Craig and I went to the same place.
Yeah.
Do you have to sit on your couch and lean forward, or do you sit on the floor?
I pull it forward.
Mm-hmm. No, but then you're still leaning. Yep, exactly, Patty. You're leaning toward it.
But then again, I use soup mugs. So
she can pick it up and bring it to her face.
I can do that too.
From your pillow.
With my mittens.
Your mittens.
We actually have the colorful trays from IKEA, so it's funny that that listener said that. They're plastic trays. They're very nice. They're very affordable, Craig. Do you feel like you're an invalid if you walk out into your living room with a tray of food?
Yeah, I don't know if it's that. It's just I found a life hack. You know, I'm doing my life hack. I also peel bananas the correct way. Do you guys do that?
I don't eat bananas.
Me either.
Oh, yeah. Oh, we talked about this before. But the way that an ape does it is from the bottom, not from the stick. And it's actually kind of fun to do
that
way.
That damn dirty ape.
Nice.
I have no idea what he's
doing. That's a nice quote there.
Thank you very much. I worked on it all day. I was hoping. I was like, maybe someone's going to make an ape reference.
Right. I thought you were going to guess ape when Mark Harmon was talking about his animals.
Oh, I did not guess ape. Someone said monkey. I don't know if that counts. Would we have taken, if it had been an ape, would we have taken monkey as a
Yeah, I think that's close enough. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I was surprised how long that game went on, actually. Mm. There were a lot of
It was a lot
guesses.
Of fun.
Yeah.
I've been meaning to tell you this all night, Craig.
Go ahead.
So can we talk about what we did after the show last night?
Sure.
We did your podcast.
Yeah.
You binge challenged. Mm-hmm. It was a challenge for Brandon, and I tagged along. Thank you for having me.
No, that was, well, you had actually seen more of the show, so I was kind of glad you were there.
It was very fun.
Yeah, it was really fun. And Flash is, to me, the best superhero show on television right now, so it was great to talk about.
I was watching Supergirl tonight, and I continue to disagree with you, but that's
fine. Supergirl's, well, I haven't seen all of Supergirl. I'm actually not caught up. Yeah.
Love Supergirl. I told Griffin that we were having a conversation about superheroes, and Griffin said, was Elliot there? And I said, no, and he goes, well, then it wasn't a very good conversation, was it?
Oh!
I was like, what? Yeah.
Yeah.
He goes, you have to have Elliot there for that conversation.
Okay.
And I was like, no, we can have a conversation without him. It's a different one. So you're, just because your level of standard is different.
Right. We don't need an Elliot Serrano all the time.
Kinda,
the chief geek officer can be unavailable.
He and I climbed the tower twice today. The first time was fine. I think the second time he was regretting having agreed to do the second round. I was doing push-ups and dips in the stairwell.
Oh, fun. And that probably didn't make him feel bad at all. When he's struggling the second time, and then you're just doing dips in between. By the way, I really want to hit him with a chair. Like, I really want that to happen.
That doesn't sound like something you should do to my friend.
We're wrestling. We're
oh,
supposed
that's
to be,
right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I want to break a chair over his back kind of thing, you know, like they do that.
Okay, now, what happens? I worry that we would have one of these movie mishaps where you think the gun's not loaded.
That's what Elliot was saying. He was saying that he would like it if I don't try to, like, crack a chair in his back because he thinks he might get injured.
Yes.
But there's got to be a trick to it, right? Like, if I train for 10 minutes,
you have to
minutes,
get a breakaway chair.
Out.
No, you have to.
Is there such a thing?
Yeah, of course. Like
really?
A prop chair.
But if you swing it, would you like break it on the wind up sometimes?
Well, there's a. It's kind of like, you know, any sort of theatrical element.
Got it. I don't think I'm going to be good with that. I want to be aggressive about it. Like if I swing it back too hard, I don't want the chair to fall apart before I hit him with it.
You have to get a chair that is made out of like it's all hollow, maybe made out of sugar wafer. I think
I'm
if you
just
get a chair
hit him with a real chair.
No, don't do that.
Okay.
Well, because that takes training in like stage combat.
Right. I thought that if I give myself 15 to 20 minutes, I'll probably get it.
Right. Where you have to, like, it looks like you're swinging really hard, but you
right.
just
and then
the
you
last
stomp
second.
On the ground or something, right? You do.
You kick
the,
something?
Yeah.
All right. That could be. I think
this
you're
is up. My plan. I think he's happy.
No,
he
it sounds
me.
like a crackpot plan.
Good.
Wait. That's
should I
word.
Wear mittens?
You should definitely wear mittens.
Perfect.
I am going to be making chili tomorrow.
Oh, wow.
For the.
You make a really mean chili, right? What's in that?
Okay. So here's the problem. I just make it up as I go. I do. I make it up as I go. Last go around, let me see if I remember correctly.
Okay.
It was bacon, ground meat, depending on what you like, ground beef or ground turkey. Also, onions. I use a sweet onion. I use, we have bacon, onions. Oh, corn, black beans, pinto beans, molasses, and dark chocolate, and cinnamon.
That sounds kind of nice.
And beer.
And beer.
It all goes in there.
Best part.
It's all. The molasses and cinnamon were a little bit more this time, and I think it worked out really well.
Is there always an alcohol component?
Yes.
Okay.
Is this chili?
Sometimes red wine. Yes.
Yeah, it's chili.
I had a really good chili at a chili cook-off, mm-hmm. and it was kind of sweet.
Yes, I do a sweet chili.
Oh,
a sweet and smoky. I like to make it sweet and smoky.
You judge something like a chili cook-off, don't you, or no?
I do the Bloody Mary
Bloody Mary, that's completely
Highwood.
Different. That's
all right.
A totally different
Vantage
thing.
Vines yeah. had a great one. Although our friends from Fullstrom's brought a fantastic Bloody Mary mix mm-hmm. in as well. But yeah, that's not a bad idea. I wonder
yeah,
how Bloody
let's
Mary
get you
mix.
Into one of those.
No, but how about a Bloody Mary mix taste in my chili?
Okay.
Oh.
I mean, it's all the components you're throwing in anyway.
Yeah. Although it's got more of the horseradish.
Some vodka in there.
Yeah. No, not in my chili.
Oh, yeah. Horseradish could
yeah,
be.
I don't know if I would want horseradish in my chili. Mm. Mm-hmm.
From the 219, who cares about the mittens, Craig? You do you. Thank you, 219.
Oh, absolutely. You should do you.
Yeah, I'll do me.
Every day. It's healthy.
At least once.
Just try to stay on a schedule. You do you, Craig.
If it's a schedule, it's not fun.
But I mean, like,
you got to surprise yourself every once in a while.
A flexible schedule. Yeah, surprising yourself is important. Now? How about now? How about now?
Should I play the adult warning yet?
Is now a good time?
Is now a good time? Am I expecting it now? I'm not. Okay. No.
All right. Excellent. What were we talking about? We talked about the Sports Illustrated cover. And I think that giving any sort of conversation to this girl that was fat shaming her is unnecessary. I think there are people who don't want to see women of my size or other sizes on the cover of Sports Illustrated, then you don't buy it. But I think this is a beautiful woman who is gracing the cover of this year's Sports Illustrated. She's gorgeous. And, I don't even know if it's going to help sales to have this big publicity sort of campaign.
It's a shame that it's publicity, that it's not just a normal thing.
I know.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think that she's beautiful. That's just me. All right, then. This is Chicago's very own. It's time for the news. Oh, hold on, Craig. We didn't have any sort of ahead warning that. This sounds like Dr. Dingman's music.
Yeah, I believe this might be a Dr.
Dingman. Dr. Dingman, are you joining our show?
I am, Patty. I felt compelled.
What on earth would have compelled you to call our show tonight?
Patty, I'm...
Yes? Go ahead.
No, you go for it. It's your show. You talk first.
No, just a little bit ago, Craig may have mentioned your name, but I suspect that you weren't even listening to the show. Were you?
I don't have to be listening to understand when my name is being invoked. I'm like the Jewish guy who never shows up at the dinner.
What's the Jewish guy? What is he talking about? I'm sorry. I don't. You know what? I'll find out later.
They leave an empty chair at the table for the guy.
I kind of feel like we always have an empty chair in the studio for Dr. Dingman, Craig. I think that that's actually. You know what? In fact, let's make sure it's that one over there in the corner.
Okay, yeah, right. Well, nobody will sit there
anymore. That's your
chair. Yeah. Should we put his face on it?
We should definitely put his face on it.
Perfect.
Dr. Dingman, so we were, the reason Craig sort of invoked your name tonight, we were having a conversation about a pattern of behavior that he has that I suspect comes from a previous life. Is that something that is common? As our music psychic, I know that you are much more interested in our listeners, in what's going on in their lives and sort of, culling information from the music they listen to.
Yeah.
But I'm wondering about Craig's past life, because in this life, he likes to eat soup out of a bowl while wearing mittens.
Correct. And Dr. Dingman, I'm sure you've heard of this before and are very familiar with the pros of eating your soup with a pair of mittens on.
I can't imagine why anyone would want to do that unless maybe they were a hobo in a past life.
See, that's what I said.
Down by the river.
It does seem like a weird character trait. Could it be something going on with his vibrations? Perhaps he's protecting his fingers.
Yes, often people in this current life will exhibit behaviors that are holdovers, echoes, if you will, of their past experiences and past life. So I would think eating soup with mittens on, I'm getting the sense that you are an Eskimo.
Oh, that would make
sense. You don't need to eat soup with mittens on if you live, in a temperate zone. But if you're an Eskimo and it's always cold and you're eating too much warm soup, you get, it's called temperature whiplash. It's called Fahrenheit whiplash.
Okay.
If your body is too cold and the soup is too hot, it's like the reverse of frostbite.
Well, that makes sense, Craig. You're trying to protect yourself, really. And I think I've seen him, rather than hug, I've seen him try to, like, rub noses with his wife.
That is true.
That
At times,
sense.
That's kind of nice. Well, I also think that it might be a life hack. You've heard of life hacks, right, Dr. Dingman? This would be one of those cool, new trendy things the kids are going to do.
But so if you just want to have soup, you will don mittens before you eat it?
Well, so I prepare the soup, and then since the bowl is rather hot, I go ahead and sit on the couch, and I just throw on a comfy pair of mittens while I have my soup.
No, you would definitely. This is definitely a holdout from a past life. Being an Eskimo, and you lived. You could see Russia from where you used to live.
I could, yeah, it was, yeah.
Or I mean, is it possible that he's trying to imprison his fingers? Like, perhaps, like, he in a past life, he did something, you know, untoward when he was eating soup. So he now has to imprison his fingers in mittens while he eats it?
But you know what else I'm picking up a different past life. You were a criminal.
Oh, see?
In the medieval times, England, and you were caught pickpocketing. And they cut your fingers off.
Oh, that sounds awful.
You left with your thumbs, but cut the fingers off. What I'm getting is your nickname was Thummy.
Thummy. Was it like a Thummy McGee? Was it something like that? I don't know. That's maybe
I don't know if it was McGee, but not Thummy like in The Godfather.
Thummy. Yeah,
I feel like
Thummy.
We've seen like maybe a Campbell's commercial or something has somebody outside with mittens on sipping soup or something like that. Maybe the idea just sort of resonated with me and I turned it into an indoor activity. Could it be that simple?
It sounds like you weren't loved as a child.
I laugh because I'm sad.
It's an uncomfortable. That was an awkward laugh.
Yeah. Okay. That sounds really good. I'm going to go have soup tonight, and I'm going to take the mittens off and probably cry for a while.
No, but maybe it's soothing. It's sort of, Craig.
Thank you.
You should have crying mittens, a special pair of mittens just for weeping.
Weeping mittens. I think that's going to be the new rage. I don't know about eating soup in a bowl while wearing mittens is going to be the rage, but definitely weeping mittens. That makes a lot of sense to me.
Oh, sure. Sure. You only wear them when you cry or weep. And then you have happy gloves.
Right. Like, oh, happy gloves and weeping mittens.
Right, exactly.
You know, Brandy is on the phone with us, and she's about to tell everyone that Craig's not crazy.
Oh, hold on one second. We definitely want to hear from Brandy. Brandy, tell us.
Hello, guys.
Hey.
No, he's not crazy. It was a Campbell's soup commercial about 2 years ago, and the little boy was playing outside, and he came in, and he was a snowman. And as he, you know, got warm in the kitchen with the Campbell's soup, then he defrosted, and he was still eating mittens, or still eating soup with the mittens.
Craig, how long have you been eating soup with mittens, if I may ask?
I am going to answer 2 years because it helps me be right here. But no, a while. I've been doing it for a while. It's been a little longer
since
than
before
two years.
The Campbell's
soup. I feel
soup.
Like there's been another commercial. There had to, like when I was a kid, they probably have done this before. There's only so many ideas, Patty Vasquez.
I know. Well, Brandy, since you're on the air,
mittens have been around for years. Mittens are not new.
No, they are really not.
You know what's new is those shoes with the
toes.
Have you seen the shoes?
Yes.
With the toes in them.
Yeah, that's
ridiculous.
Creepy. It is ridiculous.
Brandy.
Brandy, since you're on the line,
he goes on and I laugh at his foot.
It's almost like those shoes give too much information.
I agree. Who wants something that goes
toes?
Yeah, no one wants to see and then I have to imagine like what's between the toes. But here, let me do this. Dr. Dingman, since you're on the line and Brandy's here, Brandy, I don't think you've ever had a reading by Dr. Dingman, have you?
I have not.
Do you happen to know the last three songs in your shuffle?
Oh, I don't, and I'm on the road, so I can't even look.
Yeah, don't look, but perhaps as a way, Dr. Dingman, is there anything we can do since Brandy has joined us?
Let's ask Brandy to just think of three songs and see what pops into her brain, and then from those three songs, maybe Dr. Dingman can pull out what they
It's kind of like your brain shuffle.
Yeah, your brain shuffling.
Can we do that, Dr. Dingman?
I can try it. Sure, why not?
Okay.
Forever in Blue Jeans. I don't know why. The Red song.
It's okay. I'm with you. I would feel a lot of pressure in this situation as well.
Sure.
Okay. Is that like a rock song by Chevelle?
No, yeah, it's not Midnight Blue. Maybe, okay. Yeah, Midnight.
It's okay.
just weird. Any three songs that come
Midnight
to your brain.
Blue, a red song.
We're not judging yours. We put her on the spot, Dr. Dingman.
Red is a song by Taylor
Miranda
Swift.
Miranda Lambert's Gunpowder and Lead. I like that one, too.
There we go. Dr. Dingman.
So, repeat them for me again, please.
It is Midnight Blue. I think it's an old rock song, and I love it. And I turn it up every time I listen to it. It's not. Life isn't always cherry red and sometimes it's midnight blue. Does that sound right to anybody?
I'm not the right person to ask, but perhaps. Okay. Do you want to sing a little bit of it? Here, sing a little bit of it.
Oh, please. There's not enough gifts in the world.
So the other one was Forever in Blue Jeans. And what was the last one?
Midnight Blue and Gunpowder and Lead.
Gunpowder and Lead. Got it, Dingman?
So Midnight Blue, Forever in Blue Jeans, and Gunpowder and Lead. It sounds like you're going through a sad time. Blue and Gunpowder and Lead, these are heavy. Something is weighing on your mind, Brandy. You're stuck. You're trying. It feels like you're under a cloud of sadness, and you're trying to figure out the answer to a question that has been plaguing you for weeks. What has been bothering you?
That's pretty apt. I'm considering changing the position at my job.
And you're worried that if you leave the current job, the new job will not be better for you or more lucrative, but you're not completely happy where you are, and you've been like under a cloud, a gray cloud, yes?
Very, very, very good, yes.
Yeah, and you were...
I'm impressed.
Yeah, that's what I do. And the particular job that you have is with the public, yeah? You deal with other people.
I'm a machinist.
Okay.
So you're dealing with people on the line, and you're making things. You're utilitarian. You're not pushing paper around. You make things that are important, right, and people are useful for them. Yes.
Yes. Well, yeah.
And a new job is not. It's a kind of a different line of work, and that's where the fear is in you.
True. Yes. Very good.
Yeah. Yeah, so what I'm seeing is that you should not be afraid of moving on. If you were completely happy in your current job, you wouldn't even consider moving on. And I think you should take stock of yourself. And if this new opportunity is not completely ridiculous, like if you're going to a mitten factory where you're going to be eating soup all day, maybe think twice about it. But if it's a decent opportunity, tell me what the opportunity is. It's cloudy. I can't see it because of the cloud that you're under.
It would actually be with quality control with the same company.
Right.
So it is getting off the line.
Yeah. You're off the line. And instead of making things, you'll be criticizing the people that are making things.
Yes.
Ooh.
Yeah.
No, I'm okay with that. But I'm a tradesman. I do is actually a trade, and it's highly respected, and I'm just kind of done with the machines, I think.
Yeah, you're moving up. Now, instead of being the person making, you're going to walk up and down the line and go, that could be better, that's crooked, fix this, fix that. And I think the core of what you're worried about is that your friends still on the line will now see you as an ornery control freak. And you're worried that you're going to lose those friendships.
No, not so much. I'm in charge of the line anyway, so I've always been a control freak.
Yeah. But, yeah, that's the gunpowder talking right there.
Well, I thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you, Brandy. A little bit of insight.
Kind of push for that, yes.
Just a little snippet.
I would take the new job because as a machinist, you can make mistakes and get fired. But as the person pointing out problems, you're protected because you're not
doing it.
Yeah. It's like you're a movie critic who's never even made a YouTube video. You can just critique it and you don't have to get your hands dirty.
Right.
Right.
I like that. A restaurant critic that's never, tried a souffle. There we go.
Exactly.
There you go.
This is what I'm saying. I think it's a good move for you, and I think you'll be very happy, and this blue cloud of sadness or indecision will evaporate, and the sun will shine through once again.
Hey, bring on springtime, you guys.
There you go. Brandy, let us know.
Thank you, Dr. Dingman. In fact, Okay, I will talk to you later.
Thank you, Brandy. Let us know how it turns out. Wish you the best of luck. Well, there you go. See? Brandy called in to defend Craig. And got a little bit of an insight into her own life.
We are getting texts as well from people that claim that Campbell Soup kids have worn mittens for quite some time.
Okay.
Okay, yeah. But you're not a child, Craig. You're a grown human being. You're not, I mean, do you still poop in your pants?
I do not.
Oh.
Okay, well,
thank
then
you.
You shouldn't be wearing mittens while you're eating your soup.
Our friend Mark Garman, though, he goes to sleep with a stuffed animal still.
Yes.
So maybe every once in a while we do something childish.
To embrace our inner child? Is that his inner child trying to get out?
Yeah.
Sure.
I've never heard him disappointed before. This is a first.
He sounds a little disappointed.
He's him. Dejected now.
What Craig does in his own home, I guess we should.
Saying.
Oh, I think
he's completely. His phone hung up on him.
We lost Dr.
Dingman. Is done. He's out.
He is. Well, all right. Well, let's
get him a pair of mittens.
More mittens when we come back after this on 720 WGN.
Time to talk about it. It did not make the show. It had to go. Maybe next time. I don't know. This is the end of the show. We gotta go. The end of the show. Go slow. No, we didn't get to it. We thought we had time, but we blew it. We don't have time to discuss the amount of rain in Central Peru. No guitar picks, no flashlights, no candlesticks, no time, we ran out. That's what this was all about. Time just went too fast. There's no more sand in the hourglass. The current price of tea in China. 1984 movie with Rob Reiner.
It's been a while since we heard the whole song. I got a little bit extra mileage out of Craig. I didn't get the camera up fast enough, so I think I've got enough at least for an Instagram video.
Yeah, great.
Of what we meant to get to. Sorry.
I was at a dance move for
I know.
A while
well,
there.
It's been a while. I know. We haven't danced in a while.
Yeah.
I was about to tell you during the break that I felt bad. I led Elliot into the stairwell. This sounds so untoward. But if you go to our Instagram account, my Instagram is Patty Vasquez, WGN Radio, or our Facebook page, go to Patty V Show. And there is a video of Elliot and I in the stairwell, and he suspects that I'm luring him to do something untoward, something violent, actually.
This makes sense, actually.
Well, that bottom stairwell where you go all the way to the bottom,
yeah.
Into the basement, it's a little sketchy down
yeah.
there. Little,
when you're
scary.
In like the second basement level of the Tribune Tower, you get a little nervous.
It's a little scary.
Yeah.
And it's not for the anyone who might be claustrophobic. It's a strange experience. So, but I was saying that I haven't trained very much this time. And I'm not a fast climber. I don't expect to break my record, my own record, my own personal best from last year. I did all four buildings in 34 minutes. I'm hoping to at least do as well. But I did 50 floors and I was ready to go again. And I stopped and did some other...
Right. Then you made him feel bad.
I did not make him feel bad. Is climbing 50 floors and then doing
and then
push-ups
doing
and dips?
Dips and stuff? Yeah. That's fine.
Well, you have to do...
Are you going to do those during the fight for air climb?
What I've been doing when I was in San Antonio, what I would do, I did 110 floors in San Antonio, and every five floors I would do 10 push-ups, and the next five floors I would do 10 dips. So all the way up I would do that. So I don't know. That would be weird. I think I would throw off the rhythm. I just trying to balance out.
It would
the...
also be pretty badass, though, if I was doing the stairs and I see someone just doing dips in between.
And by the way, I mean dips. Like I sit on the second,
right,
second or third stair,
again.
And then I just do dips.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
What didn't we get to? We got the Sports Illustrated. We got to Carm and his duck. He likes to sleep with a duck. He does not. Mark Carman, for the record, does not sleep with a goat, pig, chicken, aardvark, sheep, or giraffe.
Correct.
Want that to be on the record?
Yeah, as long as we have that out there. We didn't get to the guy who's repairing Michael Jordan shoes.
Yeah, what's going on? He's repairing his act while he's wearing them?
Not just his own. Anybody. Anyone that has beat up MJ shoes can bring those specifically to this person, and he'll repair them.
Is
for
it the Chicagoland area?
Mm-hmm.
Only Jordan shoes?
Yeah.
I'm guessing it cost.
He's a cobbler from Mexico City.
Oh.
He's making a name for himself for transforming Air Jordans into heirlooms.
We have talked about, I've used the word cobbler on the show before, and you have poo-pooed me as though that were no longer a thing. And yet here you have a story about a cobbler from Mexico.
The name of his business is called the Red Star Cobbler, and he's in Humboldt Park.
The
I
Red
used
Star.
To work for a cobbler.
Really?
Yeah, I delivered shoes.
Where? What cobbler did you work for? Oh, I think I remember this.
I forget where he is exactly. Washington and Wabash, I believe. But yeah, he repairs shoes.
Is that a normal cobbler service to deliver the shoes?
No.
Okay.
That's his special little thing.
Hmm.
But I would run around with a big suitcase and deliver downtown.
Did you get
people's
tipped?
Shoes? Very rarely.
Oh.
Yeah, I know.
What?
Mainly because I didn't see the people. I was always dealing with doormen or a secretary.
You were just depositing them at their location.
Pretty much, yeah.
Did you at least linger?
For what?
For the tip. You got to linger for a tip. Because maybe they don't know the etiquette with the shoe delivery person.
Well,
so
no,
you just
they,
stand
I mean,
there.
It's not like I was like, shoe delivery.
And then you usually
I wish you had done that.
I don't have a bell.
I have a, you know.
No, that was, because if it's like the doorman, what are they going to do?
Just give you a fiver.
Did he give you a discount on your shoe repairs?
Oh, I just got them for free.
Oh, see, that's a good, that's a kind of like a tip.
Yeah, all my crappy shoes too, because I don't really have nice ones.
There is something about having the soles replaced on a pair of shoes that you really love, reinvigorating them, getting to extend their life.
Oh, it's, no, the whole thing is fantastic. If you have a really good pair of shoes,
mm-hmm.
Fix them.
Yes, I agree.
They can be fixed.
Yeah, because, I mean, good shoes, those are hard to find.
Right, they do miracles.
Mm-hmm. Craig, what else did we miss?
I'm still really confused about what the two of you were saying. We didn't talk about this Powerless TV show, the DC comics show that's coming up. Daniel Pudi is in it. It's about a group of people that do not have any superpowers. Mm-mm. Patty, you found the show.
Powerless. Yes, they are insurance, basically insurance adjusters. They have to deal with the aftermath of superheroes causing destruction and mayhem in cities. So that, because I was watching Supergirl, and she's having a mid-air battle, and they slam into a building, and they go sliding down the skyscraper, just completely destroying windows all the way down. And you never really stop to think, who's going to clean that up and pay for it? Right. So now you've got to get insurance for the mayhem. Yes, people were saved. But look what you did in my building. Look, you threw my car.
Thanks a lot,
you
guys.
Threw my car at the villain to save everybody. But who's going to pay for my car?
Yeah, it should be a pretty funny show. Hopefully it lasts a while and they come up with ways to make it funny beyond the premise. But the premise is really good.
Beyond the description.